Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks for being on the broadcast today. I'm always so grateful to come on and just talk about the things that the Lord's doing. We're finishing up Genesis today. We're going to be finishing up. We're in chapter 48, 49, and 50, so we're going to finish that up. And then we're going to talk about just a few other, you know, things that we kind of discussed through, like a little short recap or something like that. And then that's it. So we probably won't be on here that long today because, you know, the last three chapters are not as detailed as some of those other ones. But anyway, we are just so thankful for all that the Lord is doing. And, you know, he's doing amazing things. He's always doing amazing things. God is always so amazing. I don't know if he's like working today. Anyway, trying to get a little more like it. Anyway, still it's not. So anyway, but we thank God for just being just so great and who he is and all of those things. So anyway, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your love and kindness. We thank you for being the joy of our life, being the strength of our life, being our peace and being our joy. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless this broadcast, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless all those that will hear it, all those that will listen to it later, all those that will join us on Blog Talk Radio, those that will join us on Facebook Live. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, and even on Instagram Live, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch, Father. You know what people stand in need of, oh God. We ask you, Lord, to meet every need according to your riches and glory. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless them that you're their shepherd, that they shall not want. We ask you, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength and our very present help in the time of trouble. God, we thank you that you've been our shelter in the time of sorrow. You said he that dwells in the secret place will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So thank you, Lord, for allowing us to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God, we ask you, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Let the word, the seed of the word, fall on good ground, Father. Lord, that it will produce what you have set it out to do. So, God, we thank you that your word will not return unto you void, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God because it is our blueprint of life. And so, Lord, I thank you for it, and I glorify you, and I magnify your name. I thank you for saving me and filling me with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for being my keeper and my comforter, God. I thank you for being my protection, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are my shelter, that you have been, let your angels encamp around about me. You are my nail fastened in a sure place, Lord. Your son Jesus has been my guiding light. He has been my Savior. He's been my Redeemer. I thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding me every day, oh God. We thank you for it. Oh, go for the Yahweh. Oh, God, I glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you. Hey, Shandama. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So we pray that the word will fall on good ground today. I'm not sure why one light is bright and the other light is not. Anyway, I'm not sure what's going on with these lights today. But anyway, we're going to leave it like it is. So anyway, but God is so amazing, and so he's been so good to us during this time. It seems like we're coming on the other side of things, but there's still the pandemic war is still going on. I don't know. You know, all these things. Anyway, I'm just going to keep on going, whether it's broadcast or not. So anyway, so I'm just so thankful. I was just, you know, I've been just thinking about so many things. But anyway, just thinking how good God has been. I don't have nothing to complain about because he's been a covenant-keeping God. He's been a promise keeper. He keeps his promises. He keeps, you know, he's just good. That's all I know about him. But anyway, we want to talk about these last chapters of Genesis and all that the Lord is doing in these particular chapters. I'm putting my Bible here so I don't have to be turning the wrong way for that. Anyway, I got these Lord Swim Bibles on. They like them coffee table Bibles. You know, you said people you put on their coffee table back in the day, they so big. But anyway, I got one. I'm thinking, woo, they are heavy. I would hate to have to carry them in a suitcase or something like that. These things right weigh 12, 13 pounds. But anyway, it's so good to have the Word of God. I like the electronic Bible, but I love my Bible. I do. I really do. I love the Word of God. I love reading the Word of God. I love studying the Word of God. And I just love it. And I thank God for the revelation knowledge that he gives, that he gives us, and last week we were ended up on chapter 47 of Genesis, and we were talking about we were talking about Joseph showing himself to his brothers and him being reunited with his father Jacob, and them bringing them into the land of Goshen. Because, you know, the Egyptians, they really detested shepherds. And so they couldn't, you know, dwell in the same place with them. But they gave them the good land of Egypt. That's what they gave them. That's what the Bible said. They gave them the good land, the good part of Egypt. And so they allowed them to be in Goshen. And so because of that, you know, they were well protected. Because then later on, you know, they were in the land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan was the promised land. It is the promised land for them. It is the land that God promised Abraham. He promised Isaac. And he promised for Jacob. He promised them that he would give their descendants the land of Canaan. And so, of course, that when they came out of Egypt, after they had been in Egypt over 400 years, when they came out, that was their destination, their goal. It was to get to the land of Canaan. And so anyway, but they had to come out of the land of Canaan. And what I like about God is how wonderful he is, that he brought them out of the land of Canaan. So when Jacob came out, 70 souls came with them. So they went into Egypt with 70, and they came out with millions of people, of descendants. And so that's how God allowed them to incubate in Egypt. Even though they were being afflicted, they kept growing and kept growing and kept growing. And so that's why the Egyptians began to get a little nervous about it, because they said that if the Israelites would partner up with some of their enemies, that they would be overtaken. But they had no intentions of doing that. But anyway, but that's what they thought, and so that's why they began to afflict themselves. But we got to remember that during the 7 years of famine, and the land, they sold all their land, they gave all their money, and then they began to set themselves up as slaves. And so that's what they had done. As the famine came on, because the famine was for 7 years, they had 7 years of plenty, and then they had 7 years of famine. And in the 7 years of famine, it became so desolate, it became so bad that, you know, they had given their livestock, they had given their homes, they had given, pretty much Pharaoh owned everything, and he even owned them, because they began to sell themselves so that they can continue to survive, so they could continue to get food and all those types of things. And so, but for the Israelites at that time, they were in Goshen and they were protected. So it's amazing how the Bible said over in chapter 47, it talked about how the famine was so bad in Egypt and the famine was so bad in Canaan where they came from. But in Goshen, their livestock was still there. They still had, you know, they still had what they needed. And so it wasn't bad in Goshen. God just protected them. Isn't it amazing how God protected them? It's how he does us today. He protects us from things. It don't feel like it, because it's not like what we envision or what we picture. But nevertheless, God is protecting us. Even during this pandemic, if you're still here and you're still working and God has protected you. And even for those that have lost their jobs and those that are, going through other difficult times, God is still in the plan. He's still in the picture. And he's still taking care of you, whether it looks like what you think it should look like or not. I'm a witness to that. You know, sometimes we go through situations and we want it to be this way, because this is the way we think it should be. But because God, praise the Lord, Lou, but because God is so amazing, it might not look like what we want, but the outcome of it is still God bringing us through. So it's just so amazing how God works. And so that's what he was doing for the Israelites when they were in Goshen. They were in Goshen. Canaan was failing. Everything was failing in Canaan, which is their promised land, but it wasn't looking that good right there. And so, but everything was failing in Egypt. But in Goshen, they were protected. And so God continues to demonstrate that even throughout the 400 years, over the 400 years of them being in captivity, God continues to demonstrate, especially when he got ready to bring them out, how the plague would hit Egypt, but they wouldn't touch Goshen. And so that's the thing. So we ought to be thankful that God has us in a Goshen-like place, that he is protecting us and he is keeping us, just like he did for them. And because we have joined with Christ, and because we are with Christ as our Redeemer, Christ as our Savior, then we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So we have a right to the Abrahamic covenant. That those things that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would be with them, he would take care of them, he would multiply them. All of those things apply to us because of Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ engrafted us into that particular covenant. And so that's what we have to look forward to. And the Abrahamic covenant is an ongoing covenant. It wasn't like, you know, the land covenant, some of the other covenants. You know, we had unconditional covenants and we had conditional covenants. So it was not a conditional covenant. Like the Edomic covenant was a conditional covenant. It was based upon their obedience. And because when they you know, ate of the fruit, then that, you know, they canceled the covenant that God had with them. And so that's how that was. But anyway, here it was with Joseph. Jacob, he was 130 when he went into Egypt, and here it was, he was 17 years old. So he lived 17 years after he had went into Egypt, and then now he's beginning. He said, I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to die. And so Joseph had heard about his father being sick and heard about all that. So then he went down to Goshen. He went to Goshen to see about his father, and he took his two sons with him. And so when he took Manasseh and Ephraim with him, those are the two sons that he had in Egypt after he married the priest's daughter, he began to bless them. And so it was some, because, you know, the older son, the firstborn, was supposed to be the one that got the double portion. He was the one that was supposed to get the bigger blessing. But once again, because Jacob was in the same situation that Manasseh and Ephraim were in, so Jacob was the second son, right? He was the second son. So we talk about that. I talked about that earlier, other things about that second son and how God began to bless the second son. Isaac was the second son because Ishmael was the first son. And so then Jacob was the second son because Esau was the first son. And so then it goes, you know, that scenario shows up and shows up again. So here we were with Ephraim and Manasseh. And so Jacob got ready to bless him. And so, of course, Joseph put the firstborn son toward his right hand and then the secondborn toward his left hand. But then when Jacob got ready to pray for them, or when Israel got ready, you know, he was always Israel when he was in his strength, and he was Jacob when he was in his weakness. So he's in his strength right now. So Israel got ready to pray for them. He crossed his hands. And so he put the right hand upon Ephraim and the left hand upon Manasseh. And Joseph was like, no, the firstborn is over here. He said, no. He said God had already showed him that Ephraim was going to be a great nation. Many nations would come out of him. He said Manasseh was going to be blessed, but Ephraim was going to get the greater blessing, just like it was for him. He got the greater blessing. He had the 12 sons. I think Esau had six dukes that were raised with him. Then he had grandsons and things like that. But anyway, the thing about it was, it didn't matter because they were Abraham's seed. They were still going to be blessed because they were Abraham's seed. Now, they may not have got the promised blessing, but they were still going to be blessed because they were Abraham's seed. Because just like I said, Ishmael had 12 sons as well. And so he was blessed because he was Abraham's seed, even though Abraham threw him out with that bottle of water and that loaf of bread. He said, you know, he put him out. But still, he was blessed because, and God told Hagar, she said, I'm going to bless him. So he was blessed. Praise the Lord, Minister Dyson. God was going to bless him anyway, just like that. He was going to bless Manasseh anyway because Manasseh was Abraham's seed too. And so because of that, God blessed all of them. All of those ones that, I think her name is pronounced, I was calling her Keturah, but it's Keturah. And so Keturah was Abraham's third wife because, you know, he had Sarah, then he had Hagar, then he had Keturah. So she had six sons. And so all of those sons were blessed. Why? Because they were Abraham's seed. They may not have been the promised seed, but they were still Abraham's seed. And so God is such a promise keeper that even though they weren't the promised seed, God still blessed them just the same because they were Abraham's seed. And God told Abraham that he would bless his seed. There would be as many as you couldn't even count because the stars are like the sand on the beach or like the stars in the sky. It would be that many. And so here we go. We get into Egypt, and here we are with Jacob. And Jacob, like I said, they went in 70 souls, but they came out millions because that's where God began to incubate them, and he began to multiply multiply the seed of Abraham just like he promised. So that's what God was doing. So anyway, Jacob began to bless his son. And so they all got, you know, he told him, he said, well, gather my sons. He gave Jacob, he gave Joseph an extra portion, of course, because he, you know, he never thought he would see Joseph again. He thought that he would go to the grave without seeing his son. He thought his son was dead. And here he is. He's still alive. See, God can bring a bad, God can bring some good out of a bad thing, something that you think would never, it will never rectify itself, or it will never come back to a place where it's a blessing. God will bring that blessing back. That's just how our God is. And so sometimes we think that even in our own family situations that things are so bad that we're never going to see the good thing come out of, but God can bring a good thing out of. That's what he did all through the Bible. He used all kinds of circumstances to be a blessing that would turn things around, to bless people. He didn't leave them over there in that bad situation. Look at Joseph. Joseph is a prime story. They sold him into slavery. I mean, they put him in the pit, and then they sold him into slavery. And Judah was the one that sold him. He was the one that said, let's sell him. Let's not kill him, but let's sell him into slavery. So Judah was something else too. And so you wonder how he got the blessing that he got, but God already knew the heart. He already knew that Judah was going to be that one that the kings would come out of. David was from Judah. Jesus was coming. That lineage, all of that would come to, it would lead up to Jesus. So he was that one that the promise that the Messiah would come from. And so that is the reason why, you know, Judah had a change of heart when he got down to Egypt, and he was talking to Joseph, and he even talked to Jacob when he had to take Benjamin. He said, I will be a surety for him. I will be the one that will be enslaved instead of him. I will take his place. And so right there, Judah was almost like a type of Christ, because Christ took our place. He took our place on the cross. He said that I will become sin for them so that they can be redeemed, so they can be delivered. That's what Christ did for us. So Judah kind of done a situation like that where he said, I will be the surety for Benjamin. Benjamin will come back if I will take his place. I won't let him imprison him, but I will do it. And so he would make sure that son came back, because Jacob loved his son. Matter of fact, they called him the lad, and he had 10 sons when they were still calling him the lad. So he was in his 30s by then. But anyway, so we have that going on. So Judah kind of had a change of heart. Now that Reuben, because remember Reuben offered also. He said, "Well, you can kill my sons." You know, it was always about somebody else having a situation, not him. But you know, he said, "You can kill my sons." And Jacob was like, "No, you still don't have a right heart." Even though Reuben was the one that said, "Let's not sell our brother. Let's not kill our brother. Just put him in this pit for a minute." But then when he came back, he was gone. He did. I told you so to his brother. I told y'all not to do that. I told y'all not to do this. So they thought they were being punished because of what they did to Joseph, not knowing that it was all in the plan of God. It looked like a bad situation. But God, and Joseph even told them that when he revealed himself to them, he said, God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. But they kept thinking, praise the Lord, Lorraine Jackson, they kept thinking that, you know, he was going to get them, and he was going to have revenge upon them, to the point that when Jacob died, they made up a story and said, well, our father said for you to forgive us. Joseph had already been with Jacob. Jacob hadn't said that, because if he was going to say it, he would have said it to him. But Jacob knew that he had already forgiven them. And I'm really praying for family today, because so many times, you know, we get in these family situations and we get mad at somebody because of anger or because of something they did or whatever it is, and we don't have a forgiving heart. We have got to have a forgiving heart. Joseph had such a forgiving heart. He had been through. He went through a lot of stuff because of them, but he already knew. See, he thought that when he had those dreams that they were bowing to him, that it was going to be glamorous. So that's why I said sometimes when you are called to do something, it don't always come out to be glamorous. We think it's going to be glamorous, because that looked like a glamorous thing. If you think about that dream he had, he said the sun, the moon, and the stars were going to be bowing to him. That meant the mother, the father, and his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. And so it looked like a glamorous thing, because first of all, he was still in his flesh when he was telling the story. He hadn't had a spiritual experience yet. But once he started going through, once he went through that pit and he went through that Potiphar's house and he got to that prison, he understood that this was a God thing. It had nothing to do with them bowing to him like he was such a much, but it had everything to do with what God's plan was for their life. I mean, I thank the Lord for it. And I think about it, if we just look at our situation sometimes, it is not about us. It is a plan of God. And when we have, and I know sometimes you think, well, this is going, wait a minute, Julie, what? But some things, bad things happen, but God will turn them around for our good. Won't he do it? He'll turn around and use it. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. He said all things, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, all of it is working together for our good. And so we have to understand that God's plan may not be our plan. His way is not our way. But I tell you, he will bring the glory out of it. He will get the glory out of your life. You just got to believe that that's what's happening. It always don't look good. It always don't feel good. But I tell you, when he brings the glory, when he gets the glory out of your life, you look back and you say, wow, look what God has done. And that's where that's the place your heart should get to, where you say, look what God has done. Joseph was able to say that. When he got ready to interpret the dream of the butler and the baker, he didn't say, oh, look at me, I'm the dreamer, oh, I can do this. He didn't say none of that. He said God gives the interpretation. He gave God the glory for the gift that he gave God the glory for the gift. It ain't because we're so gifted. It's because God has given us these gifts. And if we use them for his glory and glorify him in with our gifts, oh, my God, look what more he would do. And so because of that, he might have had a 2-year delay on him getting out, but God was still working on it. God was still working on it. So then when it came to Pharaoh, he was working on Pharaoh. He was working on somebody. But when he came to Pharaoh and Pharaoh had those dreams and the butler finally remembered, he said, oh, please forgive me. He said, I forgot about this man that was helping me, and he told Pharaoh those stories. So Pharaoh went and got it. But before they brought him out, they had to clean him up. They cleaned him up because they couldn't bring him before Pharaoh just any kind of way. Just like we can't come before God just any kind of way. Sometimes we got, you know, God blesses us to get our hearts right. He blesses us to have he forgives us, and he helps us to clean us up. He cleans us up on our inward. He's cleaning up the inward because the Bible says, man look on the outward appearance, but God looks at our heart. So when God comes for us and when we give our life to God, our hearts are being changed. Because that's the only way we can come to God. Our hearts is, oh, my God, we having a heart transplant when it comes to us coming to God. And that's the same thing Joseph had. He began to have a heart transplant. He understood that the bowing and stuff had nothing to do with him being so great, but it had everything to do with God's plan. We got to understand that the things that we're going through don't have anything really to do with us, but it has everything to do with God's plan. And if we would submit to the plan, if we would be obedient to the plan, God would get the glory out of our lives. I want him to get the glory. Ah, glory to God. And so as we go on through, you know, Jacob began to tell his sons all these things. And I didn't see here. I guess I could go over. But anyway, yeah, because I got them right here. Anyway, so he told Reuben. Reuben was the firstborn. And so really, Reuben should have got the biggest blessing because he was the firstborn. But see, Reuben messed up. He went in there and he had sex with Jacob's wife. I think it was Bilhah. He went in there and had sex with her. Jacob told him, he said, Reuben would not exceed. He said, because of what you did, because of the sin you done, you would not exceed. Now, I'm thinking, well, how did Reuben keep messing up? And then Judah, all that he done, but he got a pass. But Judah's heart changed. You see what I'm saying? Reuben, remember I told you, Reuben said, well, you can kill my son. He wasn't ready. To turn it all over. He wanted to stay alive. You could kill my son, but please keep me here. But Judah wasn't that way. Judah said, no, I will be surety for the lad. That's what. So he had a heart change, and that's what Joseph was looking for when his brothers came. He kept giving them all those tests because he was looking to see was their heart changed. Had they had a heart transplant? Had God got in there and done something to it? They felt sorry for what they had done to him. And because of that, God had already blessed him to forgive him. Because now Joseph understood why he was there. He said, I was sent ahead of you to preserve life. This was a good thing. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's what we got to understand. Some things we're going through, people meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And because they may have meant it for evil, they didn't understand the plan of God. And so we can't hold them accountable for it. I remember one time my sister, we was here and my sister was here, and so you know when I got about 18, my mother got really really sick, and she got really really sick, and so I kind of had to put life on hold for myself because I had to take care of her, and not only her. So this was the thing: my aunt, my mother's sister, I had just met her. I met her at 18. And she lived right there in the city, but I had never had an encounter, had any encounter with her. My sister had because she's 14 years older than me. So she had, she knew her. She had more interaction with her. My brother really didn't either because we are about 5 years apart. And so, and he's 9 years different from my sister. So anyway, he never really had any action with her as well. But then what happened, my aunt had a stroke. So my mother was sick, and my mother had a debilitating disease. It was a rare disease. It was called syringomyelia. And so it deteriorated her joints and those kind of things. But anyway, so what I had to do, what I wanted to do, I didn't get to do because I had to put that on hold. And so I remember my sister saying one time, she said, she was sitting here and she went into tears and she said, "I'm so sorry." She said, "Because it was like we left you." And I said, "Well, I really didn't take that way. I really didn't see that way. That's just God had worked on my heart too, believe me, because I had to pray and I had to that time in my life is what launched the prayer life in me. That was when I began to really seek God early in the morning. About 5 o'clock, I would get up because I had to get that in so I could be able to navigate through the day. I got up and I read my word and I prayed. And then about 6 o'clock, my name started getting called because I had stuff to do with, you know, before I had to get up and go to work or go to school or wherever I was going. Because I was going to school full-time, I worked full-time, and I was at church full-time. So I was doing a lot of full-time and I was at home full-time. So anyway, but what I'm saying is, and so then she told me, she said, "I'm just sorry because, you know," she said, I didn't come back. I didn't, you know, this. And then my brother was the same because he had just got married. But I told him, I said, "I just thought it was my turn." I said, "If you think about it, your turn was when we came along. And so your teenage years got ate up with us because, you know, my mom worked, my father worked, and so she was always taking care of us. She was the babysitter. She was around. She was the one taking care of us. And so those were her teenage years. My brother's teenage years, my father died when I was 12. My brother was 17. And so his teenage years kind of got, you know, got kind of caught up in that situation with kind of having to take that male role in the house. You know, that's what happened with him. And so then when this came along, I just felt like it was my turn. I didn't think nothing about that they should have came and done this or they should have came and done that. I just felt like it was my turn. And I told her, "Don't worry about that. That's not how I viewed that." And I was so thankful for that. But that came with God. That didn't have nothing to do with me. That came with the God in me. That came with the salvation. That came with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me that I was able to look at it from that perspective. And so what I'm saying today, and I think this, where my time is? Let's see, okay. Anyway, I got time. Anyway, what I'm saying today is I'm going to pray for families at the end of this because I'm praying that families will come to a place of restoration. If we look at this story right here, it was a tragic situation going on, but it was the plan of God. The plan of God was for him to go ahead of them and reserve life. I'm praying that families during this time, because families have been going at each other, domestic violence has been on the rise, you know, child abuse has been on the rise. All these things are going on because we've been kind of locked in. And so, but we have got to come to a place that we forgive one another, that we begin, the Bible tells us that charity begins at home and then it spreads abroad. You can't love somebody over here and you don't love you don't love the one you're with. How about that? You don't love who's in your household. You know, the kids been acting up and all kind of stuff has been going on. But we have got to come to a place where we forgive one another, where we love one another again. And we will not take these things out on everybody. We won't let the anger cause us to miss out on years and years and years of loving one another and being a family unit. We don't have time for nothing else. We got enough drama going on in the world today that we don't need to be part of the family. We need to dwell together in unity. So I'm going to be praying for that at the end of this. But anyway, and Jacob went on to talk about all his sons. He said Levi and Simeon, they were instruments of cruelty. You remember when Dinah and Shechem, the king's son, slept with Dinah and you know, hadn't went through the right thing, the right way to get married. He loved her. He thought she was beautiful, but he didn't go about it the right way. So they kind of made a deal with Shechem, said if y'all could be circumcised, then we could give our daughter to you. But they had no intention of that. What they did was when those men were circumcised, that made them in a weak place. They went in and killed them all. That was Levi and Simeon. Levi, the line of priests came through him. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, God does all kind of stuff. Then he talked about Judah. He said Judah was going to have the lineage of Christ to come through him. That's who Christ was going to come to. So Jacob gave a lot of blessings to Judah. He said Judah would be praised by his brothers. Judah would have his hand on the neck of his enemies. Judah, if we think about that David, that he was a mighty warrior. Judah would have other tribes bow down to him because the kings were going to come out of Judah. That's where, now what's his name? Saul was a Benjamite, but David was from Judah. And then the Davidic covenant was that all the kings would come through that lineage. And so that's what was going to happen. So Saul was already out of place because God had another plan. You see what I'm saying? God already had another plan. Saul was out of place, and that's why Saul went, you know, they said the kingdom was rent for him because of his disobedience. But anyway, he was tall and good-looking, so you know how they go. People pick the tall, good-looking because they think they the one. But David was, they said he wasn't bad-looking, but he was ruddy. That's what the Bible says. So anyway, Judah would be as strong as a young lion. Talking about Jesus, the lion of the tribe, that Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Judah would be as secure as an old lion, and Judah would stretch himself like a lion. Judah would have all the line of the kings would come through that tribe. And then it says Shiloh, in which he said that Shiloh would come. Shiloh is the Messiah. It's a word that they're using for the Messiah. Judah would have the Messiah come from his descendants. Now, you know, that his descendant, the one that the Messiah comes through, and when they're talking about that, they're talking about Joseph and Mary. They're going to come through Joseph and Mary. So that's the lineage. And Phares, which was by Tamar, his sister, his daughter-in-law, that was the one where the lineage came through. See, God uses circumstance, just like Bathsheba. Bathsheba was in the lineage because you had Solomon, her son. And so there she comes through the lineage. That was the wife of the Uriah. And then you had Ruth, the Moabitess, who their nation was cursed. Because remember, they were cursed for like 10 years. So when you hear David say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord," it's because they weren't able to do that for a while because of that curse of the Moabites. But anyway, Ruth was a Moabitess. And then Rahab was a harlot. And so, but she married Salome, and Salome had Jesse, and all, you know, it goes on from there. So anyway, so that's how that all came about. And so then you had Zebulun, he would be near the sea. And if we think about when they did finally go into the promised land, Zebulun was one of the ones that stayed on the other side of the Jordan River, because that's where the water was. It was over there in his land. Issachar would become a servant, but you know about the sons of Issachar, they were able to see things, and so that's a whole other teaching. We won't go there. Dan was the tribe. He said Dan would judge his people. But the thing about Dan, if you look in Revelation, Dan is not even included of the 12 tribes because Dan went into idolatry. He was the one that brought the idolatry in. And so because of that, you know, his tribe ended up getting wiped out. But you know that Joseph was not a tribe, and so then Dan ends up not being a tribe, and so then Ephraim and Manasseh, they make up the other two tribes that become the 12 tribes of Judah, 12 tribes of Israel. So anyway, so you have that, and then he talks about Gad would overcome, he would be overcome, trampled on by people, but he would triumph at the end. Talked about Asher would be rich on the seacoast, and talked about that he would be rich in land and produce plenty of food, and that he would feed others. And so that's what it says, that Naphtali would be a good speaker. And then it said, and it talks about Joseph being a fruitful boy. And so Joseph got the most of those blessings. So anyway, see where we at? 6:30, I got time. I'm going to get through this today because we're going to finish this up. And so then, of course, the fifth part belongs to Pharaoh. Is this 48? Oh, no, that's something else. Okay, anyway, that was something else. That was... So I done got all the way through 49. And so then if we look at chapter 50, which is them, you know, that generation that came with, came in or beginning to die out. And so Benjamin, and he said Benjamin would be successful but cruel. And so we know that Benjamin, you know, they are, the rest of the tribes came against Benjamin and they almost annihilated, but they still had a remnant that is still around. And so that's why Benjamin, and so, you know, then Judah and Benjamin was the first reign of David before David got all of Israel. So anyway, so that's kind of how that went, because it's a situation that we look over in Judges, it talks about that, and it talks about Benjamin and them coming against Benjamin, because he said, and Jacob said he would be like a ravenous wolf, and he would be cruel and devour his prey, but he would gather up the spoil. He would always get the plunder, as they say. So then Israel, after he was done speaking, he gathered his feet up into the bed and he died. And then he stayed away death until he kept death at bay until he was able to do all of those things. So Israel blessed each of his sons, and then Isaac had only given one blessing. He gave that one blessing to to the thief, which was Jacob, because he stole it from Israel. Now, Abraham blessed all of his sons, but he gave Isaac the bigger blessing, the bigger portion. He did bless Ishmael eventually. He did bless his other six sons, because he blessed them and then sent them away from Isaac, is what the Bible says. And so that's kind of what happened. But anyway, and so then Jacob made them promise that he would bury them in the tomb with his father. So he said, "Take me to the tomb where that Abraham had bought from the Hittite." And so he told him, he said, because that's where Abraham and his wife Sarah. Now this is something he said. Abraham and his wife Sarah. That's where Isaac and his wife Rebecca is. He said, and that is where I buried Leah. That's what he said. He really never recognized her as you know, didn't give her that accolade, even though she did get buried in there with the other wives, because, you know, Rachel was buried on the side of the road on the way to Ephrath, I think it was what they said, because she had hard labor when she was having Benjamin and she died. But, you know, like I said, I think she prophesied then when she said, give me children or unless I die. And so sometimes why we got to be careful about some of these things we say. I know sometimes we say things, you know, as cliches, or we say things just to be joking. But we got to be really careful about what we speak over our lives and make sure we're speaking positive things over our lives and that we're speaking good things over our lives, because we don't want things to come to pass that we're speaking just and just. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible talks about that. We look over, I think it's in Timothy or Titus or one of them where it talks about us talking about saying things like that. Anyway, but he stayed back to death until he was ready to die. That's Jacob. And then, of course, and then he went back over with Joseph, too. He went back over the promise and the covenant and told him about that, you know, they were going to be afflicted and those things. And then Joseph was able to carry his father's body and be buried there, because what he did was when he died, he had him embalmed, because that was the Egyptian way. And so because the Egyptians believed that, you know, they embalmed because they believed that they would come back in a different life or something like that. So that's kind of what they believe. And so, you know, we think about that. And so then the next thing is, hi, Elder Pitts, thank you so much. And so we think about that. And then the next thing is they took Jacob's body back to Canaan and buried him there. And so they mourned for him in Egypt for about 70 days. And then another 7 days or 40 days in Canaan. And then they buried him. And then Joseph told Pharaoh that he would come back, and he did come back, and all of his family came back. Then, of course, the brothers, that's when they began to say, well, you know, our father said that, you know, that you have to forgive us. Joseph had already forgiven. He was beginning to weep. Because he was like, I already done forgave y'all. And he told him that. Then he said, the brothers came forth, yeah, with fearful. And Joseph wept, and when he heard the words of this message, and so he said, Joseph said, do not be afraid. This is what he said. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it good. God made it possible for this to save many lives alive, people alive. So Joseph told his brothers not to be afraid, that he had forgiven them and that he would provide for them and their little ones. And Joseph comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And so finally they got it. And so sometimes, you know, sometimes we got to praise the Lord, Bishop Moore. So sometimes we have got to understand that, we just got to forgive. We can't. You know, they were still trying to do, you know, it was a lying spirit. That's what they were still lying, because Joseph, Jacob had told them that. Because he had already talked to Joseph before they got there. You know, he had already talked to him, so he would have told him that. But anyway, so then Joseph gets ready to die, right? Joseph lived in Egypt, so he was 110 years old when he got ready to die. And so, but he told them, and this is what I'm saying. So Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, and he saw to the third generation, and Manasseh were so brought on his knees. So he saw he was a great, 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 great by then, grandfather, great, great, great. So he was two times great. So anyway, so he saw them, he saw his children. So the Lord blessed Joseph. He blessed him. He was so blessed. So that's how I'm saying, what I'm saying. You know, we might have to go through some pits. We might have to go through some Potiphar houses. We might have to go through some lying people lying on us, some people forgetting about us. But the one thing we can be sure of, that God has not forgotten about you. That's the one thing we can. God is with you. God is favoring you. And God is merciful unto you. So that's what we got to remember. That's what he is to us. So we get, and that we are covenant We are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ, so we are heirs according to Christ, heirs and joint heirs with Christ, and we have access to the Abrahamic covenant as well. We are the seed of Abraham. So we got to remember that. So when you think about that, start looking at those covenants, start looking at that and making and saying to yourself, oh, no, I got some promises. I got some promises. God got some promises, and he's a covenant-keeping God. Remember that. And so then we get to the final message of the family and Joseph. Joseph is getting ready to die himself, and he told them, he said, God would visit Israel and bring them out of this land. And Joseph said God would bring them to the land promised to their fathers. God would bring them to the land given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph took an oath from his family about his bones. He said, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. Joseph died when he was 110, and the body of Joseph was embalmed, and the body of Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. But what I like about it, see, this is what I'm saying, even with our children, with the children today, we got to keep reiterating about God, and we got to tell them about God. They had to be, because this, okay, so this was the beginning of the 400 years. They hadn't even started, you know, they hadn't even gotten into that yet. And so, but 400 and some years later, when they got ready to go out of Egypt, they got them bones of Joseph and took them out of there. So somebody had been telling these stories over and over and over and over again. And so they knew exactly what God was going to do. They knew that God was going to bring them out. They knew that God was going to visit them. They knew that they had to carry those bones out. And so God is going to visit you. God is going to bring you out. You got to understand, whatever it is you're going through, God can bring you out of it. He's a covenant-keeping God. Go back and look at that covenant. Go back and look at it and look at it. Because so we had what? We have four covenants in the book of Genesis. We have the Edomic covenant, which was about them being in Eden. And so, of course, that was a conditional covenant as long as they could stay there. But because they didn't, they got put out. Then we had the Edomic covenant that was with Adam. And so we had that covenant. And then we had the Noahic covenant. And so, of course, we still see signs of the Noahic covenant even today. When we see the rainbow in the sky, that is a sign of the Noahic covenant, that God is telling us he will no longer destroy the earth with water again. But, it's going to be fire and sand, but he won't be water. He's going to keep that covenant. But anyway, and so then we are living still under the Abrahamic covenant, even though there was eight covenants altogether. So four of them happened in the book of Genesis, and there were four dispensations. You have the dispensation, let's see if I got that in my notes, the dispensation of innocence, the dispensation of human government, the dispensation of promise, and so that was with Abraham, that came along with the Abrahamic covenant. Fourth dispensation was promise. Then you had the dispensation of human government. You had the dispensation of innocence. And let's see, I think it's another one. Again, the third dispensation was human government. And see, the second one was, let's see, the second dispensation was consciousness. And then the first dispensation was innocence. And so those were the four dispensations. All of that happened in Genesis. Of course, we know the day of creation, all that happened in Genesis. But the one thing I want to point out before I get off this level, before I pray, I want to talk about the signs of Jesus Christ in Genesis. And so we saw him as the seed of the woman, which is in Genesis 3 and 15. We saw him as the son of Abraham. And so if we look at that, that's Genesis 22 and 18. And then his reference to that is in Matthew 1 and 1, then Luke 3, 23 through 34, and then Galatians 3 and 16. We see the support for that in the New Testament from the Old Testament. Son of Isaac, and because, and of course, you know, Isaac was a type and shadow of Christ because, you know, when he was offered up, and then they, you know, he said, no, just stay in, there's a ram in the bush. That was a type of Christ taking our place. But Isaac was named just like Jesus was named. They came to Mary and said, we your name, and just like John the Baptist was named. And so they were named, and so Isaac had to say, they said, we're going to call his name Isaac. That's what you're going to do. And then we thank God for how Isaac even, you know, in the land, you know, even in the land, Isaac, you know, when Isaac kept building the wells and kept having to strive, and then finally he got to the lawn in Beersheba, then he said, God has made room for me. God has made room for you. I want somebody to be encouraged about that. God has made room for you, just like he did for him. He made room for him. And so then the next thing is, it said that he was the son of Jacob. He was Shiloh, which means Messiah, the shepherd of like I said, even Judah was kind of a type of Christ, because when he said he would be surety for Joseph, I mean for Benjamin, he was taking his place, just like God Christ took our place. And so I hope that, you know, this journey through Genesis, it's been a long journey because we've been in for a while. But this is a, you know, Genesis is packed with a whole lot of stuff, and we just scratched the surface. We really didn't go in depth like we could. I mean, if we went in depth, we'd still be on, we could almost be on Genesis for about 6 months or more. But anyway, but we scratched the surface. So I hope that it blessed somebody. If anybody ever wants any of these outlines or notes that I've got, just, you know, hit me up on Messenger and let me know, and I'll try to gather it together. But anyway, you know, anyway, I got them online. So anyway, okay. And so, but anyway, those are some of the things. So I hope it's been a blessing. We're going to start, we're going to be in Exodus next week. We're going to start Exodus. So, you know, Genesis had 50 chapters. Exodus has 40 chapters. And so, you know, we might get through it a little faster. But then, you know, Exodus got some long chapters. And it's a lot going on in Exodus, because if you think about the tabernacle and you think about all of those things that are going in and the Exodus, a lot going on in Exodus. So anyway, but it's going to be fun because it's a great story. It's a great storyline. It's a great, you know, God shows us so much through the Israelites and their journey. He shows us so much. He shows us so much about even today. And you know what? You know, people say, well, the Bible was written so long ago, and, you know, is it relevant today? Well, just like I was talking about Joseph. Joseph got lied on, and he got put in prison. How many men are in prison now because of a lie? Somebody done lied on them. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's relevant. The Bible is still relevant. This is a wonderful thing about God. It might be written years ago, years ago, but it's still relevant today because God is still relevant. That's why, since he's still in control, his word is still relevant. Oh, that almost felt that in my spirit. But anyway, God is so amazing. So I hope somebody was blessed by our journey through Genesis. It's been, I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But, you know, I love reading the Bible. I like reading the Bible. I like studying the Bible. And so I done got all these big old Bibles. I said, this is a good, I don't know if that's like a coffee table Bible. This is the Dates Bible, large print. It is humongous. I'm saying like a coffee table Bible. You know how they used to back in the day, had them big white Bibles on the coffee table. And then I think this, I bought me a new Schofield with larger print. It's kind of big too, but it's not big as that Dates, though, but it's up there. Anyway, these, and they, oh, my, please, people online, I didn't know. I don't think they can hear. But anyway, there's plenty of folks online. Let me see if anybody got anything they want to say. I've just been on here running my mouth. Anybody got anything they want to say on the line? If not, I'll just keep on running. Keep on running my mouth. Anyway, we're coming to a close. And so, you know, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, this is an opportunity for you to accept Christ. And, you know, because maybe you didn't get to do it earlier today, so much service was going on, you had an opportunity. But this is an opportunity. If you just pray this prayer for me, Lord, I am a sinner. And, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead and that you are my Savior. Let me turn from my wicked ways, and I give my life to you to live as you lead me. Please forgive me and fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know that ain't the traditional one, but that's the one I see today. Anyway, I think if you prayed that prayer, any version of it, you are saved. And we thank God for you giving your life to Christ today. I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be living without having that safety of being in the bride of Christ and being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't want to live without God. I just don't want to do life without God. I thank God that, you know, that I don't have to do life without him. And I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, I just want to pray before I get off this line. And I want to pray. I want to pray for families today. I think, you know, the Lord gave me that while I was reading this because, you know, Joseph was able to forgive his brothers for everything that they had done to him. So he was able to, you know, to do that. And I just want people's hearts to get in a place where they can forgive one another and they won't be holding grudges and things like that. You know, it takes too long. I used to have friends, she would always be planning how she was going to hold a grudge. And I'm thinking, that takes too much. That's too much. We got too much other stuff to do to be trying to figure out how to hold a grudge. You know, we've all been through some. We've been doing this pandemic this year and a year plus that we've been in the house. It's been trying. I got frustrated because I got to go. I got to really get on a diet and get this little pandemic. Ain't no little bit of this pandemic weight off. So I got to worry about that food. And I said, Lord, how did I get back to this? But anyway, it is what it is. You know, I said, but I know what it is. It's some carbs because I've just been on that crunching. But anyway, I said, Lord, if you can help me not to do that, I know how to get it off. So anyway, I'm going to do it. And then somebody confirmed it because they said that they were on a diet and they cut them carbs. They said, you cut them carbs out this diet, you can lose some weight. You really can. Now, that's what I know because I look back on the time when I cut all them carbs. I wasn't even doing them with liquids, but I wasn't doing no carbs. I'm saying you can get that weight out. So anyway, that might be a help for somebody. The Lord told me just to cut them carbs out. So that's what I'm going to do. But anyway, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are our abounding love and your love in our life, Lord Jesus. You told us in your word, Lord Jesus, that charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. Lord, you told us, Lord, that we, in your word, I think it's 2 Corinthians, I wrote the scripture down, so I want to quote it like it said. I want to pray it like it said. It says, Lord, let us make every peace, and this is Jesus. Lord, let us make every peace and every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy without holiness. No man will see the Lord. And, Lord, then you're also, your word says for us to be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving each other, just as Christ and God has forgiven us. So, Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're doing this. Let us bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So, Lord, those are the things we want to do. I want to make sure I put those scriptures in the prayer. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let us begin soften our hearts, Lord. Begin to turn our hearts, our stony hearts to flesh, oh God, that we will have a forgiving heart towards one another. And we will do what we can do. Hallelujah, and allow you to do the rest, God, to bring our families back together, to bring forgiveness in the family, to bring wholeness in the family, to bring love back in the family. We rebuke the spirit of anger. We rebuke the spirit of frustration. We rebuke the spirit of confusion, God. We rebuke the spirit of hatred, God. We rebuke the spirit, hallelujah, that comes to divide, oh God. Lord, bring families back together. Lord, some of them have lost loved ones, God. And because of those loved ones, the loss of those loved ones, even things have been going on because of that. I should get this. I should get that. Lord, let the bickering and the fighting stop, oh God. And let them love one another. Lord, let them come close to one another. So that when you come back for us, oh God, you can come back for that bride that's without spot or wrinkle. Lord, that you can come back for us, Lord. That we love one another enough. That, Lord, if these of us be overtaken in a fault, that we, Lord, we will restore the help to restore those that need it. God, we won't judge and we won't look down on people, but Lord, we'll love people back to life. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch those that have lost family members by suicide. Lord, comfort those families as only you can. Lord, we rebuke the guilt that is trying to run rampant through families, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to give them peace about it, oh God, to comfort them as only you can. Bless the grieving families, oh God. Hallelujah. Touch them and comfort them, oh God. You're the God of comfort. Hallelujah. You're the God of peace. Let it come in their lives. But, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, we rebuke child abuse. We rebuke spousal abuse. We rebuke child molestation, Lord. We rebuke rape. We rebuke murder, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord, we rebuke grandparent abuse and parent abuse, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to let the children and the mothers and the fathers be at peace with one another. Lord, bring prayer back into the household, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you. We magnify you. Let your spirit reign. Oh, God, in the homes of people, oh, God, let there be peace, Father, as never before. God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, do it for families, oh, God. Bring comfort and peace to families. Bring joy, hallelujah, Lord. Bring a spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving unto the house, oh, God. Lord, you are the God of peace. You're the sovereign God. You're the almighty God. You're the omnipotent God. Oh, God, you're all seeing and you're all knowing. Bless, oh, God. Hallelujah, each and every family. Lord, move mightily through there today and through their homes, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. And let there be peace. We rebuke hallelujah. We rebuke these violent killings, and, God, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak peace, oh, God. Every devil got to go back to the pit of hell from whence it came. In the name of Jesus. Hey, glory. Send it back. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Let your angels encamp around about us. Let peace be in our home. Keep us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, God. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke drive-by shooting. Lord, we rebuke retaliation and retribution, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs a job. Bless them, Lord, with the job they need, oh, God, so they can provide for their family. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, bless there to be food on the table. Oh, God, food in the refrigerators. Oh, God, bless the lights to be on, the water to be on. Lord, we rebuke poverty in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, my God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for glory. We thank you for enough. We thank you that you're the God that's more than enough. We thank you, Lord, that you supply our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, don't bless us the man that trusted in you. Let us trust in you. Let us believe in you. Let our faith be in you, God. You said he that cometh to God must believe that you are and that you are rewarded to them that diligently seek him. Seek you, Lord. Lord, let us seek you first, the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be added to us, oh, God. Lord, let the families be at peace. Don't let them fight over stuff, God. It's just stuff. Don't let them fight over it, God. Don't let them fight over money, Lord. Bring peace, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, restore marriages, oh, God. Restore, God, families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let restoration come. You said you would restore the years of palmer worm, the locust, because the palmer worm, the locust, and the caterpillar had eaten up, oh, God. Restore, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we glorify. Bless every pastor, every apostle, every teacher, every evangelist, every bishop, every elder, every minister, every deacon, everybody that administers the word of God this morning. Oh, God, restore back into them, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for the leadership in the churches, oh, God. Hallelujah, that kept things going despite what we've been going through. God, we thank you. Lord, we're so humbled to be your servant, oh, God. So humble, God. How about that most time? Oh, Lord, I want to serve you with humility, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, I glorify you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Everything you've done for all of us, God. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for favoring us. And thank you for your mercy, God. Thank you for your grace. All of this I ask in Jesus' name. Bless everybody's week this week that they will have a good week, oh, God. Keep them and comfort them, Lord. Cover them, Lord. Whatever they were going through on Friday, Lord, resolve it in the name of Jesus. On the job, let there be peace, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let us be the answer for somebody, oh, God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let us not murmur and complain, but let us give praise and glory and honor to your name, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us adore you. Let us worship you, oh, God. Hallelujah. Lord, you said this poor man cried, and you heard him, and you delivered him out of all his troubles. We thank you for deliverance today. Lord, bless those that are coming out of prison, God. A young man coming out of prison yesterday. Lord, bless them, oh, God. Lead them in the right direction, oh, God, in the right program that will help them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. We bless you, and we glorify you. Bless, Lord Jesus. Lord, some people have started businesses. Let the wind get behind the business. Some people, their gifts are beginning to manifest and beginning to come forward. Lord, bless their gifts, Father. Bless those that are waiting on women, some of the singles that are still waiting on companions, oh, God. Whether they're waiting on a husband or they're waiting on a wife, whichever they are, bless them with the man and woman of God that you have for their life, oh, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we glorify you and we thank you and we bless your holy name. For you are worthy to be praised, God, and we thank you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I pray that prayer was a blessing to somebody. I pray that something we said was a blessing. Like I said, we'll be starting Exodus on next week. We're going to that, and, you know, then see what else is going on. I always got a bunch of stuff going on. I don't have anything coming up this Friday. We're going to be having Impact Moments on the 15th and on the last day of the month. And then, of course, on the 4th Saturday, we will have Prayer Essential. We'll be doing prayer on the 4th Saturday, on that Saturday. I think it's the 4th Saturday. The 3rd Saturday we're going to be doing. We're still going to be doing Women of Distinction. We have some other women that will be on the line. And then we're going to be doing, the men are going to be praying on this time. The men will be in the prayer room. And so we anyways, I just thank God for each and every one of you. And I want to tell you, I'm putting myself on YouTube, so if y'all do it, say, we can go out there to Evangelist Arthur Denise Bryson and like my YouTube page. I'm putting all my little stuff out there. So anyway, all of these teachings are out there. If you want to go back and hear something else instead of doing the teaching of Genesis, you can. And so anyways, we're so thankful. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for all those that joined me online. Thank you for those that joined me on the broadcast and those that will listen later. Thank you for those that was on Instagram. Thank you for those. We thank God for each and everybody. So anyway, God bless you is my prayer. And may you have an awesome rest of your Sunday and get some rest this evening so you'll be ready for tomorrow. And may God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Bye-bye. See you next week on the Prospering Souls broadcast.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Brighton of Denise Brighton Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly, we give honor and thanks for being on the broadcast today. I'm always so grateful to come on and just talk about the